Technology is an integral part of our business and personal lives, affecting virtually everything we do and experience in some form or fashion.
Information security.
As CPAs, it's never been more important to be ahead of the technology curve.
Privacy management.
That's why the AICPA established the Top Technology Initiatives list, highlighting emerging technologies that'll contribute to the accounting profession.
Assurance and compliance. Mobile and remote computing.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to our featured podcast highlighting the IT Audit School. Let me first introduce you to Dan Schroeder, CPA, CITP, CISM, CISA, and CIA, and partner at Habif, Arrogetti, and Wynn LLP in Atlanta, Georgia. Dan is the current chair of the Information Technology Executive Committee. And also with us today, we have Tommy Singleton, PhD, CPA, CITP, CISA, CMA, CFF, CGEIT, and Associate Professor of Accounting at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and Director of the Forensic Accounting Program and Marshall Scholar and member of the Information Technology Executive Committee. Both Dan and Tommy will be presenting at this year's IT Audit School, also known as the IT Considerations in Risk-Based Financial Statement Audits Program. And I've asked them both here today to share with the audience the purpose and objectives of this comprehensive training school and why folks should enroll. Welcome, Tommy and Dan. The AICPA has launched a series of training schools that focus on the IT considerations and risk-based financial statement audits. Can you share with our listeners what the objectives of this program are?
Sure, Joanne. This is Dan Schroeder, and it's great to be on this podcast today. The objectives of the training school are to provide the attendees with a practical and scalable approach for the IT-related aspects of the new risk-based auditing standards. I say new, but these were the ones that were released in 2006, the SAS's numbers 104 through 111. There's a lot of applicability of the objectives of this training as well into SAS 70. That'll carry over into the new attestation standard, SSA 16, as well as AS 5 and its applicability for public companies. As well as a byproduct of the school is to help the auditors to improve the effectiveness and efficiency in the deployment of their IT aspects of this risk-based standards.
Can you also share with us what the program content will entail and hands-on practice participants should be looking forward to?
Joanne, this is Tommy. I'm also glad to be on the program today. The program was developed by experts in this field, national experts in this field, and it will not only cover those standards, but more importantly, as Dan said, it's the practical application of those standards. And then, so we've developed materials and things to help learn those issues that are going to be covered. But we're going to have, for example, a comprehensive case study that those that participate in the training will be able to use from day one, an example of what a client might look like, and then we go by step across fully across the process, this practical and scalable approach that Dan mentioned. We go through that thoroughly from start to finish with the same client, the same information, the same financials for 3.5 days. And so it's a hands-on simulation of not only learning about these things and this approach, but also being able to turn right around and practice with it in a real-life world situation. On the fourth day, the program also covers computer-assisted audit tools, frequently called CAPS as an acronym. So on the last day, we will be learning and showing and demonstrating and hands-on with CAT tools about doing some data mining and some substantive procedures that are IT-related. And in fact, we're using a tool called Active Data that students will be able to not only use, but they have a 30-day trial with that particular Excel plug-in CAT tool. And this will give them an understanding about the IT audit functions and what you do, and then we will have supplemental materials in addition to those things, some articles and things like that that would help the members, those who attend, to get a full benefit out of the program.
I think this is one of the newest and most robust programs being offered within any organization at this time. The fact that participants can come in, build on a day-to-day case study, and at the end do hands-on simulations, I don't think there's any program that exists that does that. And I'm sure that participants will be able to take a lot away from that. Who do you specify should attend this program, and who is the program more geared towards?
Joanne, this is Dan. I'll touch on this first and turn it over to Tommy. This program applies most specifically to auditors and accounting firms where they have clients that are of traditional financial audit, whether they're private or public, as well as if they're providing services associated with SAS number 70 or soon to be SSA 16, and they want to understand a more effective way, more efficient way of deploying those standards into their audit practices. For example, in financial audits, in many cases, technology represents some form of risk, audit level risk, that auditors need to understand and then to develop appropriate procedures for. So this program is designed for representatives from those audit firms, and whether those representatives, they could also be from what we might call a traditional financial audit background. In many cases, larger firms will also have personnel that specialize in some aspect of IT audit, maybe IT audit supporting the financial audit process. And certainly those types of people have also found a lot of benefit from participating in this in the past, and we would encourage anybody that has not attended this to participate in this going forward. In terms of the types of people from the firms that would, or audit or accounting firms that would attend this, in the past, we've had people that are at a more junior level, whether they're considered staff or audit seniors, also more senior level, you know, senior managers. I think it's even appropriate in some cases for audit partners, and we've had audit partners attend the audit school, and they've all have found that this presents this to them in a manner they really haven't seen before. It is relatively new with respect to the audit standards that we talked about before. It's very pervasive throughout that. So it's important for the more senior people at the partner level, the management level, to understand what it is and how to bake it into the process and what their expectations should be, as well as there's a dimension, as we talked about earlier, as Tommy talked about with the case studies, there's very much a hands-on practical aspect. So even your more junior people, the staff, the seniors of the world, we expect that they're going to get a lot of benefit from this as well.
Now, would personnel from the business and industry side also benefit from this program? And who from the B&I side would most benefit from participating in the IT audit school?
Joining in answer to the B&I, I think the most beneficial group that should attend the training would be those responsible for internal audit. Because we cover extensively things like IT general controls and IT controls and change management, those are things for which the entity is responsible, and quite often the internal audit is actually the entity or the group of people who are responsible for those things. So we have found that by going through the information that we have and the hands-on approach, and also from seeing the other side of the coin maybe a little more clearly about what the external auditors are looking for, it actually empowers the internal audit function to do a better job in terms of controls and integrity of the data and things like that. Not to mention that day four, when we use CAT tools to do data mining for certain things, they also are looking for anomalies and errors in accounting data. So actually on day four, we have a very shared purpose there in trying to determine if there are anomalies in the data, errors in the data, and how do we get to those things. So I think they could benefit tremendously out of that. In fact, we've had B&I people to attend the school, and they have commented about how much they benefited from those kinds of things.
So we can presume then that participants would be able to come away with identifying what risks are inherent in their processes and how to mitigate them.
Absolutely.
This information has been terrific, but in a nutshell, when participants walk away from this 3.5-day program, what should they be able to apply or get into right away once they're back at their offices, either servicing their clients or working in a business where they're responsible over internal control?
Well, Joanne, what we've found from previous schools is that a number of the people, probably most of the people in the room, have at least one aha moment, even by the end of day one or day two, that they suddenly get a better picture of some of the aspects of the risk-based approach that Dan alluded to in his opening comment. That is about efficiencies and effectiveness. And so for one of the things that participants can expect to get out of the program is that auditors should be able to apply these things in a practical and scalable approach and end up with more value-added comments for the management letter. Secondly, they should be able to look at the audit with a better understanding of the client and their environment and their internal controls and come up with things that would be more efficient. I remember clearly one participant in October saying, wait a minute, my client has this automated system and they have these kinds of controls. Does this mean that I can get some comfort over using a test of controls? I could get some comfort over those controls and I could reduce the level of my substantive testing. And we said, yes, that's exactly what it means. And he was almost in shock and suddenly realizing just what that meant to him and his audit. So they can expect to probably find some areas in existing audits, one or more of their existing audits, where they can apply these techniques to gain better understanding of the clients, have a better audit, or possibly a more efficient audit, and probably some value-added comments to add to their services.
Dan mentioned earlier that there was a significant impact on the release of the risk-based auditing standards, and there's an emphasis on the integration of IT in the audit. Why is that relevant or necessary?
The reason it's necessary is that virtually every audit client relies to some degree, in many cases it's a very significant degree, on the role of information technology in their accounting and financial reporting processes. So since technology is so pervasive, when you follow that through, what you find is that from the perspective of audit risk and what could go wrong in assertion level risk or at financial statement level risk, technology oftentimes has a direct relationship to that risk. Therefore, it is incumbent upon the auditor and the audit team to understand the role of the technology, the impact that it may be having with respect to any type of risk or dimension of risk. And the risk can be from error. The risk can be from fraud. And therefore, the auditor needs to understand that risk, the nature of the risk, the assertion or the assertions that it would pertain to, if it's at a financial statement level, and then to establish appropriate audit response procedures to deal with that. And so following that process through helps the auditor to fulfill the standards of field work associated with the new standards. And the point that Tommy made a minute ago, I want to reemphasize. I think it's a terrific point, and that is that in almost every case, when the auditor follows this thought process and understands the flow of information and where the risks are or not, in almost every case, the auditor is able to provide a value-add comments and recommendations back to the client, back to management team, and helping to strengthen the service that's being provided by the audit partner, the audit firm, and improve that overall relationship.
Now, taking this integrated approach, is there an impact on cost, on the amount of manpower required, or does it push an organization to over-assess that engagement or over-test or over-review?
This is Tommy. Let me try that. Well, first of all, I think that it's quite possible that we over-test without doing this approach, that it's much more likely for the audit team to do extensive substantive procedures, manually intensive, labor-intensive, and for them to overtest, and in fact, it's also possible for management to do some overtesting before we get there. Whereas with the integrated approach, I think it's much less likely. It's much more likely that there would be efficiencies that could be gained, and there would be a better fit between the audit program and where the risk really lies. So one of the advantages of conducting that audit is you gain a better understanding of the IT, and in particular as a scenario I alluded to earlier, when the auditor understands the IT and its relationship to the business processes and the underlying data and the financial statements, and they suddenly see an overlapping control objective where an automated control has the objective to maintain integrity, completeness, and you know, the assertions, and then the manual substantive procedure thing has the same objective, and suddenly you have the opportunity to rely on the automated control and reduce the amount of the substantive testing possibly significantly. Now, the first year in finding that area and developing the test control does have some extra labor in it, but the possibility of saving enough labor on the substantive side to make up for that or even come out ahead is possible. For example, a lot of people still believe that test of controls is something about understanding code and that you have to have a test deck with 400 examples or something. But the standards say that it's possible under the right circumstances that you can run a test of one and get some reasonable assurance about the level of the comfort provided by that control. So if you can find a control that's effective and you can run a test of one under the right circumstances, then suddenly you're able to reduce the cost and resources of the audit significantly at a minimum from year two going forward. But probably you could also do it in year one under the right circumstances. And those are some of the aha moments that I alluded to earlier. But suddenly the auditor says, well, now wait a minute, I tested one on this thing, then I can go from a sample of X to half that or a third of that or whatever the circumstances might be.
This is Dan. I want to follow up on Tommy's comments because I think this is such a critical topic, and that is, you know, the subject of driving efficiencies in the audit process and making sure that what we're doing is really cost effective. And that really is what's most fundamental about this body of knowledge about this particular approach. What we know is from people that have tried to, in many firms that have tried to apply some degree of IT audit, they know that they've got to do it. Unless they really have an appropriate methodology, there could be a very high risk that the activities that they undertake are not going to be appropriately directed. For example, you can spend time in looking at general controls or conducting other forms of IT testing, but unless it's grounded in an appropriate risk assessment, it really may not be necessary. So this course provides a direction just to help to make sure that any activities that are undertaken have a specific purpose. That purpose would be to improve the effectiveness of the audit team and the audit procedures, the efficiency by leveraging controls that Tommy talked about, or another specific objective would be with respect to providing a value-add recommendations and comments back to management.
Well, it sounds to me, based on what you both outlined here, that there's no excuse or no reason why an organization or an auditor or internal control manager should not embrace this integrated approach, look into this model. But we see time and time again that accounting professionals continue to fail in comprehending how to integrate the risk-based audit approach. Why does that continue to happen, and what can we do to enable the profession to embrace it?
Well, Joanne, this is Tommy. I think one of the problems is a perception of what this risk-based approach and the risk standards are about, and the human nature to want to do the audit like we've always done it because we think it's working. But again, the understanding, the full understanding of FAST 109 in particular, of really being able to understand the IT specifically and how specifically the IT introduced risk to the risk of material misstatement in particular, and understanding the linkages between the IT and the risk of material misstatement, and understanding the linkages between IT and its controls over the data that underlies the financial statement, allows the auditor to have a better understanding of exactly what the risk-based approach is. Otherwise, there's, again, it's this perception of, okay, well, then I'm supposed to throw some more IT audit to that. Well, that means I've got to add another 8 or 12 or 30 hours to my budget. and why should I do that? It's just going to cost me more, and they don't understand or perceive of any significant benefits on the other side. So I really think it takes something like 3.5 days of seeing the full, complete picture of this practical and scalable approach of a risk-based audit, top-down approach based on management assertions and the risk of material statement. And once somebody works themselves through that from one end to the other, then they really get a picture of what it's like. But if they don't understand that, then I think there's the possibility for misconceptions and ill-conceived perceptions of what the risk-based audit is about and the IT part of it's about would cause auditors and public firms to think, well, why would I want to do that? It looks like to me there's just a lot of extra cost, and I'm going to end up doing the same thing I've always done.
I want our listeners not to be remiss about where to register for the IT Audit School program. For more information on the IT Audit School and to register for our upcoming sessions, they should visit www.aicpa.org/infotech. Attendees will be able to participate in a case study that progressively builds on real-world challenges, and they'll provide tips and techniques to help guide participants through these challenges. On the final day, there's a hands-on simulation, and participants are also going to obtain access and free trials to two of our data analysis tools. The dates are July 19th through the 22nd, and it'll be held in Denver, Colorado. And the second location is Atlanta, Georgia, October 4th through the 7th. If you're an IT section member or CITP credential holder, additional discounts would apply towards registration. Thank you, Dan and Tommy, for your contribution to this podcast. And thanks to you, the listeners, for tuning into the podcast. This concludes this featured podcast on the IT Audit School.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Top Technology Initiatives podcast. And if you're looking for more information on the top technology initiatives, go to www.aicpa.org/toptech. That's aicpa.org/TOPTECH. Or if you have any questions for us, email us at toptech@aicpa.org. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.